Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. This is Robert Duvall and Frederick Wiseman, RIP.
This has been a sad few days because we have just lost two really, really marvelous personalities and artists in the world of film. And nothing like this has happened for a while. Back in 2007, two incredibly important European filmmakers, Ingmar Bergman in Sweden and Michelangelo Antonioni in Italy, died on the same day, which was really a tragedy. And in this case, they died one day apart. But we have Robert Duvall, who died just a few days ago, and then Frederick Wiseman, who died shortly after that. So again, a sad day. And what I'd like to do today is just talk a little bit about each of these two people. I was acquainted with both of them, and I did a lot of talking with both of them and had some contacts with both of them over the years. And they were both really, really remarkable artists of different kinds. So let's start by talking about Robert Duvall. And of course, he was an extremely important actor. In all kinds of ways. And he had his first appearance with a role in which, interestingly, he didn't speak way back in 1962 in To Kill a Mockingbird. And that movie, I should mention, was written by Horton Foote, who won an Academy Award for his screenplay. And many, many years later, Horton Foote wrote another movie called Tender Mercies. This was in 1983, and got another Academy Award for Best Screenplay. And Robert Duvall was in that one, too. So an interesting little confluence there. And actually, Robert Duvall did quite a lot of work with the great playwright and screenwriter Horton Foote over the years. But Robert Duvall started his career as an actor back in 1962 with To Kill a Mockingbird. And then he was in all kinds of movies after that. He had a very, very active career, all kinds of films. Some of the most famous include MASH, the Robert Altman film from 1970, where he played Major Frank Burns. I want to mention another film from 1970, which is not nearly so well known, a movie by Paul Williams called The Revolutionary, which is a marvelous political film in which Duvall gives just a terrific performance. Also then in 1972, The Godfather, which is really the movie that put Robert Duvall on the international movie star map, played the conciliary Tom Hagen. And then later on, he was in The Godfather Part II. Interestingly, he was not in The Godfather Part III because, according to all reports, he was just asking too high a fee, and the producers of The Godfather Part III wouldn't pay it. And so he decided not to be in that movie. So, you know, he was an actor with a business side as well. Other films that he appeared in that are important movies in 1976. There was Network in 1979, Apocalypse Now, where he delivered what's probably the most famous line from his entire career. "I love the smell of napalm in the morning," he says in that movie about the Vietnam War. And various movies since then of all different kinds. Also a fair amount of television. There's some stage work. I remember seeing him in American Buffalo, the David Mamet play many years ago. So he was a very versatile actor, and he did all kinds of different roles, and he could do comedy and he could do drama, all these different things. I mentioned already the marvelous movie Tender Mercies, which I totally recommend if people haven't seen Tender Mercies. It's one of my favorite movies of the past few decades. It's a marvelous, beautiful, gorgeous film written by Horton Foote, directed by the very fine Australian director, Bruce Beresford. And it's a beautiful movie. And in it, by the way, it's what Robert Duvall, he was nominated for several Academy Awards. That's where he won an Academy Award for that film. And he sings and plays songs along the way because he plays a country musician in that movie. So he actually does some music, and he could do that as well. Again, his tremendous versatility. Anyway, it's a marvelous movie. Of all the films that people may not have seen that I think they ought to see, Tender Mercies would be number one on my list. It's just a really spectacular movie, and Robert Duvall is sensational in it. But something else I want to talk about, and this is not so well known about Robert Duvall, is that he was also a movie director. He only directed five films, but he was a really talented movie director, and he really did some marvelous work. The very first movie that he directed, way back in 1974, when he was still near the beginning of his acting career, not the very beginning, but he was still coming up, he made a documentary called We're Not the Jet Set about a ranching family. And it's a really good documentary. And he got a lot of recognition for that back in 1974. Then in 1983, he directed another favorite movie of mine, all-time favorite movie of mine, a film called Angelo, My Love, which is his movie. It's sort of a fiction film, but it has tremendous documentary elements in it because it's about a Romani family, what would have been called at the time a gypsy family, and people from that community play characters very much like themselves. It was a project that was generated by Robert Duvall when he met this little boy named Angelo, who was from a family like that. And then he went on and he generated this whole movie. And it's a marvelous movie. Again, it treads the line between fiction and documentary. And it's so entertaining, I can't tell you. In 1997, he played a movie called The Apostle. That's when I did one of my interviews with him. I did a few interviews with him. He said he had wanted to play a preacher for many, many years, and he finally did in a movie that he directed himself. Then another film, which I think is not so successful in the early 2000s, called Assassination Tango. He did five movies in all as a director, and some of them, especially Angelo, My Love, and parts of The Apostle, are really, really, really excellent films. Robert Duvall could be kind of a prickly guy. I mentioned that I interviewed him more than once, so over the course of his career. And one time when I went to set up an interview with him, he wouldn't do it. He said he wouldn't talk with me. And the reason turned out to be that he didn't like a review that I had written of film that he starred in. And I went back and I looked at that review, and it said things like, Robert Duvall is one of the greatest actors that we have on the stage and screen. He is unbelievably talented. He has a tremendous gift, but this is not one of his very finest performances. And that just irritated him so much that he turned down an interview with me. But then, interestingly, I got to him through his publicist and I said, have him take another look at that review. It's so complimentary to him. And yes, then the publicist got back to me and said, okay, he's changed his mind. He's going to do the interview. I just bring that up because Robert Duvall could be kind of a prickly character as well as a tremendously gifted actor and director. So he will be very, very much missed. And I can report, despite that little incident that I just related, that he was just a lovely guy to talk with, very, very nice fellow. And anyway, he will be, as I said, sorely missed. The other person who died just the other day was Frederick Wiseman, one of the greatest documentary directors who ever lived. He directed his first movie back in 1967, a film called Titicut Follies. And he was a pioneer in the mode of documentary called cinema verite, or sometimes called direct cinema. And this is the kind of documentary he made almost 50 of these movies over the course of many, many years. And this is the kind of documentary that has no narrator. It just gives you footage. It lets you look at stuff. Now, of course, back when cinema verite first came along, back in the 1960s, the idea was there's not going to be any narrator and you're just going to be shown things from the real world and you get to make up your own mind about that. Now, of course, that greatly oversimplifies the situation. The filmmaker is deciding what subject to make the film about, and then is deciding what footage to put in the film, and the order in which the material will be shown, and how it will be edited, and what will be included, and what will not be included. So, of course, documentaries have nothing to do, well, have little to do with objective truth. But Frederick Wiseman was a real pioneer of that kind of movie, and he never made inflated claims for it. It was just the kind of film that he felt best presented views of the real world. So I mentioned he started his very first film, 1967, Titicut Follies. This was a movie that took place entirely in a mental institution in Massachusetts. And it's called Titicut Follies because that was the name of an annual show that was put on by the people who were incarcerated in this place for people judged judged to be criminally insane. So what Frederick Wiseman did was he went into this institution and he made this documentary, and it was so incendiary. The conditions that it revealed were so awful that authorities there managed to have it quashed. And for many, many years, it was a very, very hard film to see. Fred Wiseman always said that it was banned and you couldn't see it anywhere until very recent years. And that was an exaggeration. But you could see it, but it was hard to see. And it started his career on a controversial note, let's say. But he went on from there to make movies about all kinds of other subjects. And as in that very first film, his specialty remained throughout his career, movies about institutions. He didn't make movies about individuals. He didn't make movies about trends or tendencies in culture or anything like that. He made movies about institutions, but they revealed things about individuals and about trends and tendencies in culture and so forth and so on. So that was his great, great specialty over many, many years. So I'll just mention a few of the movies. High School, another one of his earlier movies. And he also made a film eventually called High School 2. A Hospital, you can guess what that one's about. Essene, back in 1972, a movie about a monastery. One of my favorites from 1973, Juvenile Court, which is about exactly that. It's about a juvenile court, and it's an incredibly incisive and revealing and moving documentary about a juvenile court. That was when I first had my first contact with Fred Wiseman, way back in 1973. He called me up to thank me for my review because I had said that it was a really terrific movie, and I said, why? And he said, too many people were still writing about cinema verite and the style. And I wrote about the content, and he was grateful for that. And then in later years, we got to know each other, and it was very, very nice. But anyway, other movies he made. He made a movie about welfare back in the mid-70s, about the American welfare system. So again, movies about institutions. I'll mention just a few more titles. Central Park, Ballet, Belfast, Maine, which is all about a little town in up in upper New England. National Gallery, again, you can guess what that one's about. Ex Libris, the New York Public Library, one of his more recent films from 2020 called City Hall, which I don't really think is one of his best. So anyway, all these movies about institutions. And one thing that Frederick Wiseman did, I think almost all the time, is that he made movies about institutions that were supposed to be good. And sometimes in his movies, they turned out to be, yes, good. And sometimes in his movies, they turned out to be the opposite of good. For example, when he made his movie High School, way back in his fairly early career, in 1968, he went to a high school that had an excellent reputation. And when that movie opened, the people in the high school, the people who worked there, who had agreed to cooperate with the movie, were horrified by what they saw because of what the movie revealed about their high school. But he didn't go in to expose a bad high school. He went in to make his version of an objective movie about what was reputed to be a very good high school. And then again, people in the high school were absolutely shocked when they saw it. So that was Fred Wiseman at his best, going in not to raise a ruckus, but ending up raising a ruckus anyway. He was a fascinating, fascinating figure. I have to say, one time the Sundance Film Festival, in a year when I was not going there anyway, flew me out to moderate a discussion between Frederick Wiseman and Werner Herzog, a very, very different kind of documentary filmmaker. Fred Wiseman always made movies that purported to show the truth just the way his camera captured it, whereas Werner Herzog, the great German filmmaker, who's also made a lot of American films and made fiction films as well as documentaries, Werner Herzog was willing to actually fake shots if he felt that it would be aesthetically pleasing in a documentary. And there was a concern at the Sundance Film Festival that these two would get into a big fight of some sort, maybe over the meaning of cinema verite or something like that. And so they brought me out because they thought that my diplomatic skills could smooth things over between Fred Wiseman and Werner Herzog. As it happened, it took approximately a minute and a half for the two of them to agree that cinema verite was a fairly useless label. And then the conversation went on from there. And it was very, very just neighborly and nice and interesting. And they were both terrific guys. And Fred Wiseman was a terrific guy, especially a really very, very nice fellow. Our last email exchange was just a few years ago. And he told me in it that he was hoping that he would make 50 movies before he finally died. Well, I haven't mentioned this before, before, but both Robert Duvall and Fred Wiseman were in their middle 90s, so they had good long lives and good long careers. I'm afraid that Fred Wiseman did not reach his goal. He did not actually manage to make an even 50 films. He only made a little bit short of that. I believe it was 46 films, including one fiction film. But along the way, he made all of these documentaries. Almost all of them were shown on PBS, so they reached very large audiences that way, as well as having most of them theatrical releases. He had a long, prolific, and incredibly distinguished career as a pioneer of direct cinema documentary and as a maker of just marvelous, marvelous movies. I recommend almost all of them highly, highly, highly. I hope people will catch up with his work if they're not already familiar with it. Robert Duvall and Frederick Wiseman, two great, great talents who will be sorely missed. So that is my somewhat mournful story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. Robert Duvall and Frederick Wiseman, RIP.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.